Well, today's chart that we will start with are about the wise men that showed up to worship Jesus. And these are the things that we know about these wise men. We don't know how many there were. All that we know is there were more than one, because there were wise men. It was plural in the Greek. That is all that we know from that. But from Matthew 2 verse 1, they came from the east. And so there's several thoughts of where that could have included. Babylon, modern-day Iraq, which I feel like is prime suspect number one. Now, that's a more minority view. Now, the majority view is modern-day Iran. It was Persia back then, and that's where the majority of people think that they came from, and that's also east, which it's northeast, but it would still be considered as east. But Babylon is exactly due east of Jerusalem, and so it really fits. And the next chart that we have will kind of go hand in hand with that, as far as where these wise men may have originated. Okay, second point. These wise men recognized Jesus' star when it appeared. So, they see this star. They come to Jerusalem from the east. And nobody in Jerusalem has recognized the star. They did not know about the star. So obviously, God did not have this star for the people in Jerusalem or in Judea. It was for these wise men, for this purpose of bringing them to the Messiah. And so it was for them and only for them. And so then number three here. They knew the King of the Jews resided in Jerusalem. So all that they knew to do was, whenever they saw the star, they gathered their gifts, and they brought three gifts, and then they came, and they came to Jerusalem. They did not know anything differently. They did not know where it was prophesied that the Messiah would be born. And they were obviously very shocked that the Israelites did not already realize this. And they panicked all of Jerusalem whenever they showed up asking, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" Well, nobody knew anything, and that is a little bit surprising. People had already known, but I guess it was kept quiet is the only thing that it did not spread as widely as it could have and maybe should have, but probably since how things went, this was the providence of God that it kept quiet. Because when Jesus was 40 days old, or after he was 40 days old, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord, to give a sacrifice, a cleansing sacrifice on Mary's behalf, and a sacrifice on Jesus' behalf. This was what every child had to do. They had to do for every child that was born. And so, when they show up there, here, Simeon, who was a prophet there in the temple, and he recognized as soon as they brought Jesus, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple, Simeon recognized this as the Messiah, and he was so thrilled because he said, well, the Lord has told me that I will not die until I see the Messiah, and now I've seen the Messiah. And so also the thought is they think that he probably died soon after this. Now, I don't know if that was like the next day or that afternoon, you know, that night, you know, within the month, but he very likely, and probably he did not live much longer after this. And then also Anna, who was a prophetess, and both of these people were waiting on God's kingdom. And there were a whole host of Israelites, you know, and it should have been all of them, but obviously it wasn't the Jewish hierarchy. They were not waiting on God's kingdom. I don't know. In fact, they tried to do everything that they could do to prevent God's kingdom from coming into effect. And Jesus even gave a lesson about that, and that they were going to try to steal God's kingdom, and they thought that they could inherit and they would own God's kingdom if they just kill the heir, kill the Messiah. And anyway, but there were righteous people, and they obviously knew when the time frame that they were in the time frame that the Messiah would come and that God's kingdom would be established, and that was going to be in the Roman Empire, the kingdom that came right after the Greek Empire. So there should have been more and more of these Israelites that realized this, but anyway, unfortunately, obviously there were not. And so as a result, the other people did not know this, and I guess this was just kept in a small group of people. Although it says Anna went and told everyone that she met that she has now seen the Messiah. And that's not all, because when Jesus was born some 40 days earlier from this temple event, the shepherds who had gone to see Jesus while he was still in the manger, they told everybody that passed by them or that they crossed while they were tending their sheep out in the pasture out east of Bethlehem. Okay, but as far as they show up in Jerusalem, just assuming this is where the King of the Jews would reside. Well, and the Roman appointed King of the Jews, King Herod, was residing in Jerusalem. And so, you know, they knew that much, but they did not realize that it was prophesied that Jesus, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, 6 miles to the south of Jerusalem. So whenever they show up and everyone panics, word gets way to King Herod, and he wants to know where this Messiah is. And so he goes and asks the scribes and said, where is it that the Messiah is supposed to be born? And then they said, Bethlehem of Judea. And so then Herod goes back to these wise men and says, go to Bethlehem of Judea. That's where you'll find him. And once you find him and worship him, you come back and tell me where he is, and I'll go worship him too. Well, we know now that he was going to go and kill him. He viewed God's Messiah as a threat to his kingdom, which, you know what Jesus told Pilate some 30 years later? Said, well, you wouldn't have any power at all if it was not for my Father who has given you this power. And it was the same here with King Herod. But anyway, King Herod gets killed somewhere 2 to 4 years later. I kind of forgot the time frame. From this time that he tries to kill Jesus, the baby Jesus. And this is why after this event of the wise men ended up going to Bethlehem. And then Joseph, Mary, and Jesus flee to Egypt. And then Herod gets killed, and it's a massacre, which we've gone over this in the past, and I only learned this from Kaufman. I'd never heard this any other way. But Herod's family had invested and built this big, I don't know, not a Colosseum, but a big building. And I don't, maybe they had gardens, but it was a tourist attraction. And so then they were making a lot of money just for people to come in and see all of this. Well, they were there, vacationing, or this, maybe they stayed here from time to time, or maybe overseeing what they have there. But he had their family, and it was at least a daughter, but it was quite a few people. And I forgot the faction that went in there, but they trapped them in this building and they massacred them. It was a bloody massacre. And Kaufman's point and thought was, this was God taking vengeance against Herod and this wicked family for what they were going, he intended to do to the Messiah, and against God's eventual development of God's kingdom. Point four. So it is evident that God was with the wise men and wanted them to see Jesus, because God caused the star to come out of the sky and led them to the house where Jesus was. So these two points, 2 and 4, are glaring examples why this star was only for these wise men that came from the east. They were the only ones that recognized it, and it came out of the sky and led them from Jerusalem. When they went on the south side of Jerusalem, it led them to Bethlehem and then right to the house now where Jesus was. And now we notice that Jesus is now in a house. He's no longer in that manger, and which we already know that because when he was 40 days old is whenever he went to be presented at the temple. So this is not the night that Jesus was born. And so then the fifth point, God was with these wise men because he communicated to them in a dream. So then he told them that night, do not go back to Jerusalem. And they were going to do what Herod said. There was no reason for them not to. So they were going to go back to Jerusalem, say, hey, we found him. He's down there in Bethlehem in this certain house here. But God communicated with them in a dream and said, no, do not go back that way. Do not go back to Jerusalem, because King Herod is going to try to kill this Messiah. And so you go home a different route. And so they did. And we're not told how they went home. What my thought is that they went east there from Bethlehem and went around, which I don't have the map out, but went around the Dead Sea, or maybe they crossed the Jordan, and they could have gone on the east side in the Perean area beyond the Jordan, and then went north that way, and then got back on the King's Highway and went back to Babylon. And that would make the most sense. And then they left during the middle, cover of night too. And so Herod and his men had no chance of ever finding them if they would have done that. But and there's probably lots of multiple ways. And who knows, they might could have just skirted instead of going through Jerusalem, maybe just on the east side of Jerusalem, and still got away by the cover of night. But anyway, they obviously followed God's command. He told them to go home by a different route. Then they came, which was not, don't go due north back to Jerusalem. So obviously they did not do that. Okay, so now the next chart is the things that we know about Daniel and the wise men back from Daniel chapter 1 and 2. Okay. And this I feel like is a good explanation from where these wise men came from 600 years later. There's 600 years or so between these wise men that show up to see Jesus and these wise men that were here in Daniel's day. So 600 years in between, but I think this is the origin story of where these wise men originated. I think they studied the order of Daniel for all of these 600 years into the future, what makes the most sense to me. And what Glenn even pointed out, I think now it's a couple of years ago, that it even makes more sense that these wise men were Israelites, and they were the remnant, that a part of the remnant of Jews, of Israelites, that never returned back to Jerusalem, just as Daniel never returned. And then they just stayed in Babylon and kept studying the text that Daniel had written, and preparing for God's kingdom is what makes the most sense. And that these were the majority view is that these were pagan, stargazing people from modern day Iran. And that doesn't make any sense to me at all, that pagans would show up and that God would be communicating to unrighteous pagans to go and see the Messiah. But it makes perfect sense to me that these would be righteous Israelites that have been studying under Daniel's teachings, under this wise men order for the last 600 years, and they are waiting on God's kingdom, and they are waiting on the Messiah to be born. Anyway, these are the things that we know about Daniel and the wise men from Daniel chapter 1 and 2. Number one, Daniel saved the Babylonian wise men from being destroyed by prophesying about God's coming kingdom. And that's Daniel 2, 46 and 47. Then, number two, Daniel then became the chief administrator of the wise men for decades. And that's from Daniel 2, 48. So, he taught them, number one, he saved all of their lives, this whole order. Now, these wise men here, whenever Daniel became head over them, these were the pagan Babylonian wise men. And but obviously now they fully trust him. They put him in as the chief administrator. And so they studied now under what he had them to be studying instead of their pagan whatever they were doing before. And obviously now they had a lot of trust in him because they know that Daniel's God is how King Nebuchadnezzar mentioned it, has your God saved you? And so Daniel's God was with him and had interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dream and revealed it to Daniel, in addition to King Nebuchadnezzar. And so they know that he has a divine revelation straight from, even if they did not have a full understanding that this was the creator, or but probably over time they got a better, fuller understanding of the and I feel like they probably did listen to Daniel's teaching. And then over time, then probably there were more and more Israelites that came under this order of wise men that Daniel was teaching. And that would make the most sense then, that these were the wise men that showed up and they were Israelites 600 years later to worship the Messiah. Okay, point three. Daniel's entire life focused around prophesying God's kingdom. We get that from Daniel 2:44 and Daniel 7:18. That's what, and this is the key verse in the whole book of Daniel, Daniel 2:44. In the days of these kings, God will establish a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And so that's the visions that God kept sending to Daniel. It was King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And then I believe there are two more visions that God sent Daniel. And it was all about God's coming kingdom. And then point four. It is thought that Daniel never left Babylon, as well as many other Jews also never left Babylon. And very likely that 600 years later, out of these Jews, these were the wise men that showed up to worship the Messiah in the first century, or you know, at the beginning of the first century. So we will end there and pick up with the next chart next week.